así.
So I usually have to listen to podcasts at work. I only get one headphone.
Oh,
so I'm listening. I'm listening with one headphone, and I'm like, huh.
You know what?
I hear Joe.
But I don't hear myself, you know. But you know what? It's funny you bring that up.
I just admitted I listen to our own podcast.
You know what? I do too, but I only listen to it for notes.
I do too. I was like, that was stupid.
Well, yeah, that's I listen to it like, okay, what do I need to do that's better? What do I need to do? Like, and Planet Arbitrary, my problem is I drink very heavily during the Planet Arbitrary podcast. And I find myself
slurring and shit.
I don't slur. I go, like, you know, like, I'm driving myself nuts. I'm like, speak like a normal human being, you fuck twit.
All right, I'm trying a new position for the mic. So hopefully this will work out well for me. Because I had the
Actually, you need to get up higher on the mic. You need to get more up on it. Put it in your, like, closer. Like, you're going to suck it off. Like, it's a dick.
Well,
yeah, more like that. And there you go. That's perfect. Perfect.
The problem is like, if I hear my breathing, I'm going to fucking...
You're gonna lose your shit. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to bring that up. I was gonna bring it up later on in the mailbag segment, but I think it's a perfect transition since you brought that up. I'm waiting to bring it up on my iPad. Maybe I'll bring it up in a second. But someone wrote about the fucking channels, the mono channels, right. Yeah. I was just like, God damn it.
I told you, dude, the left right channels. It threw me off.
It did. But anyway,
that would explain why I would have been fading in and out.
Fading in like a ghost, like a spooky ghost.
Fading in, fading out, fading in, fading out.
Well, anyway, since we have that terrible, terrible introduction, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is the Go Trek to my Felix, Steve.
Fuck yeah, I'm the Slayer.
You're the Slayer
stupid,
dwarf.
Stupid dude, I get to be the Slayer and tie my ball hairs in like fancy knots.
You ever read those books?
No.
No? They're actually really good. I quite enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say they're really good. Actually, in terms of like legitimate literature, they're shit. But
all
like,
the workshop books are shit in terms of legitimate literature.
Yeah. I mean, it's like none of them are anywhere near like Hemingway-esque.
And he fired his bolter. Pow, 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 pow.
No, you're not doing it right. Deca, 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 deca.
No, that's the exposition scene.
Oh.
The exposition scenes are deca, 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 frame, 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 last cannon, frame, 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 Dan Abnett.
Dan Abnett.
Dan Abnett.
Bolter, chainsword.
Yeah.
Vroom. Oh, here we go. Finally, it's coming fucking up. I don't know why it's fucking taking for... Oh, no, it's stalled again. God damn it.
Why don't you just get on my Wi-Fi?
I am on your Wi-Fi.
Oh, I don't know.
Motherfucker.
Maybe it's because you're using a crappy fucking Apple product.
Here we go. Game Classy number 23, Unleash the Gygax. Now I got to bring that up.
So. We got a lot of comments on that. Oh, the Gygax won.
Gygax won. Well, yeah, one person voted.
3-0.
What?
No. There was one person on the Game Classy thing. Two people on the Twitters.
Oh, on the Twitter. I never check your Twitter, so I don't know what people are saying on that.
3-0. The landslide victory.
All right. So anyway, today's episode.
Sorry, Zoldak. It's all about Gygax.
It's all about the Gygax. So going into our first segment, as always, is going to be the big three, where we talk about the big threes in gaming, which the first off is Games Workshop. I did meticulous notes on today, and it all got thrown out the window because of the big news that came out. Did you see what happened?
Nope.
The creators of Rome Total War have now teamed up with Games Workshop to create Games Workshop RTSs.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually cool. I'll probably play those.
It's big news because, I mean, the last fantasy, and it looks like it's fantasy from what I saw.
Well, that would make sense for Rome Total War, guys.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the last one that came out was
Mark of Chaos. Bandai Namco.
It looked pretty good. I never played it because my computer was never up to specs for that.
And
it was released on
the Xbox.
You
couldn't call it anything other than mediocre.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, the aesthetic was great, though. It, you know, the big blocks. You know, it looked like fantasy. You're like, oh, this is gonna be badass.
This is going to be the shit.
Yeah, turns out, not so much.
And then, so that was like, I was like, oh, fuck. That just throws a whole monkey wrench in my situation. Because I was like, that's big fucking news. That's going to be a good fucking game. Because, I mean, 40K already has the our ultimate RTS for them, which is Dawn of War.
Not Dawn of War 2. Just Dawn of War.
Just Dawn of War. Dawn of War 2 doesn't exist.
Dawn of War 2 is garbage.
Is it like Highlander 2?
Yeah. It's worse than Highlander 2. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Hold on now.
Yeah.
Is it worse than Starship Troopers 2?
No.
What about Starship Troopers 4, Hero of the Federation?
That's 2 is Hero of the Federation.
Oh, is it?
3 is Marauder.
Marauder's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I was told that Marauder was worse than 2.
Oh, it is. But it's so bad. It gets back to that circle of awesome. Any movie with Casper Van Dien in it is just like fucking badass.
Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, God, I love Sleepy Hollow.
That's pretty sweet.
Casper Van Dien in his chin.
Casper Van Dien at his best.
They're two separate, like it's like starring Casper Van Dien and Casper Van Dien's chin.
billing. My chin needs separate billing.
Anyway, I finally got this pulled up so I could show it. This guy, Brother Glacius.
Glacius.
I don't know.
That's the dude from Killer Instinct.
Is it?
He's the ice guy. Glacius.
Okay, I don't know if this guy's like really sounds like this, but this is the way I heard it in my head. Yo, what's up? Podcast was really hard to listen to due to poor mic quality. One guy sounded fine, but the other guy sounded like he was across the room. Then it fluctuated. Ugh. Yeah, you know what that is? That's the fact that one of your speakers is not working. That's the reason, because we do left input, right input. Maybe I'll fix it. Maybe I won't.
I don't like the channels either. I'm just throwing that out there.
You know what? You go fuck yourself. That's what I say to that.
You know what? If I could, I probably would never leave the house.
I never would either. But anywho, the other big thing, Hobbit got released, and I know how Steve feels about the Hobbit minigame. Steve?
Hang on, wait. I'm looking at my phone, and I'm doing nothing on it, because doing nothing on my phone is more exciting than the Hobbit miniatures game.
Actually, the box set is really, really nice, and I think...
Naked goblins.
Then the goblins do look like... You know what? Everything in that box, if you didn't want to play... And aside from the 13 dwarves and Bilbo and Gandalf and Radagast, if you wanted just to get the box for the goblins, they would make amazing Nurglings.
I think
on the cheap.
More important note about The Hobbit is that it's getting smashed on Rotten Tomatoes. It's currently at a 70%.
Really?
And falling.
The mini?
In the movie game?
The mini.
The mini movie.
The movie really is getting trashed?
It's 70% and falling.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to see the fuck out of it. I don't care.
I agree. But I'm really hoping it doesn't suck.
No, I hope it doesn't suck either.
Peter Jackson will be the next George Lucas.
No.
But the power of myth.
No one will be the next George Lucas. But yeah, the Hobbit releases, everything's actually looking pretty good, and pricing is not terrible in comparison to a lot of other mini games that are out there. It's like the plastics are pretty much comparable to a lot of the other prices. Problem is the fine cast is priced outrageously to the point where it's not even worth like even noting. Like, oh, I would might like to buy that if it was like, you know, $5 less. No, I might want to buy that if it was $20 less.
Yeah, it's absurd. But it's fine cast.
And it's not even the fine cast.
Then they're going to break.
It's like the ridiculous Hobbit pricing. And the like,
Hobbit pricing. What do you mean by Hobbit? Just everything?
Lord of the Rings pricing.
Oh, I thought it was just it's like the fine an cast. Extra, it's like the an fine extra. Cast was absurd.
What?
The fine cast was absurd.
I mean, in comparison to like how much the shit costs for like GW. Like, if you go buy a 40K figure that's made in fine cast, yes, the pricing is high.
It's like 1980.
It's like, but then you go and you see that same figure that's smaller for Lord of the Rings, and the pricing's $5 higher. You're just like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, I saw the one box that was like four figures for like $90.
Oh, my God. Fucking the White Council for $90. Yeah. Where? How?
I was going through the Twitter feed because I had one person respond to a topic, so I queued that up.
Oh, okay. But aside from that, the plastics themselves, not badly priced, slightly higher. But, I mean, if you're into the Lord of the Rings and you're collecting it, because, as we know, Lord of the Rings is
highly collectible. Just like anything Lord of the Rings.
Just like anything
Lord of the Rings. It's highly collectible.
It's highly collectible. It's not bad. And the figures do look really good. I think GW really stepped up its game.
What are the odds you think that anyone listening to this podcast actually plays Lord of the Rings?
I sent you that text message about those dudes. I seriously was at the bunker shooting the shit with the guys who worked there, and a group of 10 guys, 10, probably ages 16 to 20, came in and were just drooling over the Lord of the Rings models. And they weren't just like some jackasses who were going to play laser tag and just decided to stop in because they're like, hey, look at these nerds. No, these guys had a fucking agenda to come in and look at the Lord of the Rings shit, and they were all over it. I've never seen something like that in my life.
Completely made up.
No, it's not. No fiction could create this.
No work of fiction, no dream of man.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Because they have the big rule book, and I kind of wanted to just take a look through it and see it and see what was cool. You know, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to play the game. But these guys were like, oh, fuck it. Well, if you're going to play this guy, you know, you got to make sure that you put him in with this unit, because that's the way. I'm like, you guys actually play this fucking game, don't you?
You guys are idiots.
I just want to smack the book out of their hand. No!
Yeah, slap it in. No! You stop. Stop. And then grab two of their heads and go, now you kiss.
But, yeah, I mean, people, and it's, as I say, it's not bad. That's the big thing. However, rumor mill, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. I mean, I know you're like, it's Games Workshop. Fuck Games Workshop. But rumor mill has it that in the upcoming year, it's not going to be, Hobbit releases are not going to take up a month. It's going to go Fantasy 40K, and Hobbits are going to be released on top of the releases for the month.
That's probably wise.
Move your mic down. You're not going to pick it up. I'm not picking you up.
How about now?
Oh, much better.
I just want to avoid the whole breathing thing. It's really bothering
It's fine,
me.
As long as you're moving away when you're not. But
I move away from the mic to breathe in.
The old school meme.
Hobbit rain. We kick it old school. Don't call us outdated. We're just retro.
We're just retro. Speaking of retro, stop picking on retro. Stop picking on retro game. Pat's retro game review. Stop trolling him.
Sorry, Pat. I get you with the daggers, but it is how I really feel.
But yeah, I've heard that that's, I don't know if it's absolute true or not. It would be the smartest move that they could make aside from getting away from Finecast. Because seriously, the metagame is so stale right now for fantasy and even 40K.
Oh, fantasy's got to be fucking brutal.
Fucking God. It's been, they have not had an army book release since Empire in May.
And this is why a company that releases all of their products in one go for every army is a superior release schedule.
Kind of.
No, just flat out better.
I know, but I mean, I don't mind a stagnated release, but I mean, seriously, a fucking army book. More than one army book a year, please. But I think that's part of the reason, when I was putting this together in my head, is that if they actually don't stagger the release with a Lord of the Rings release in the middle, so if it just goes Fantasy 40K, they have a lot more space to release more army books throughout the year. So maybe they were holding
release
it back.
Schedule. Sure.
Yeah, so maybe they were holding it back a little bit so they could have a more...
Or they just use it as convenient. No, we're working on it. We're holding it back.
And also, I wanted to put this out there to anybody who has a blog, posts on Warseer, posts on Adeptus Windu City. Stop complaining about Finecast. We all know Finecast is shit. You don't need to complain about it every time fucking Finecast is brought up. Steve, you're a number one person I got to talk to about this. So we all know Finecast is shit. Finecast is not going away until the contract GW has with whoever makes the Finecast is up.
The only way I won't bring it up is if you don't bring up Games Workshop.
That's not happening.
Well, then I guess I'm going to talk about how bad Finecast is.
You can't get rid of the 500-pound gorilla in the room. And when I say the 500-pound gorilla, I mean the guy that's playing Tau.
No.
Oh, God case.
My fire warriors are moving up. Hang on, I got to stop for an eclair. Got to take an eclair break.
I need a little Debbie snap. It's stat.
Give me some those cookies with the frosting in the middle. The oatmeal ones. They're healthy. They got oatmeal in them.
And just other upcoming rumors. We all know Dangles is next for 40K.
Dangles.
The Dangles are next. There's not going to be anything fucking new for them. It's just going to be like, hey, look, here's Space Marines with wings.
I got one guy, the guy on the Twitter, this is on topic. He told me to do 40K orc rumors.
I've heard 40K orc rumors. Orc and Tau. Coming up in the spring, probably not a book. One of them might get a book. It'd probably be Tau more than orcs. But they are the big thing right now is, you know how in fantasy everybody's getting monstrous creatures?
Yeah, everyone has a quote-unquote land raider.
Everyone's going to get not a rant land raider. They're going to get a Dread Knight style model. So like a big walker. So Tau are going to be getting a big walker.
They already have those. They're called crisis suits.
No, bigger. Like the size of the Dread Knight, or not the Dread Knight, whatever the fuck.
That's what we need. We need more metal baby carriers.
Yeah,
it's a papoose.
Also, Tau are gonna get a flyer. Apparently,
it's a papoose that hates chaos.
It's a papoose, the papoose of chaos.
No, the papoose against chaos. The chaos warriors, they have the papoose of chaos.
Yes. And then for fantasy, chaos is there's going to be two Chaos releases in a row. It's going to be a Demon's Codex and a Fantasy Codex and a Warriors Codex.
Those are called army books.
Whatever, fuck them. Plastic Chaos Chariot is definitely in the works.
I used to specifically troll the fantasy players by going like, oh no, just check out the new Thumke Codex. It's pretty good. And everything would be Codex.
It's army books, sir.
And everything was squad. The guy got a squad of Chaos Knights. The fantasy guys would just be like,
And as I say,
with rage,
the only thing, you can't take anything I'm saying seriously, is most of it's rumors. The only thing I know absolutely for sure is a plastic Chaos Warrior Chariot. I've seen the model. They actually had it in the White Dwarf. They had, like, you see, like, the rear axle of the wheel. And it was like, that's the plastic chariot.
Clearly.
So anyway, other than the big three, let's go in the game.
Did you see the Titan leak?
The Titan leak?
Yeah, there was a grainy fucking picture of what looks like a Titan sprue would be to make a Titan. Just saying.
God damn it.
Because that's what 40K needs.
That's what fucking 40K needs.
Titans.
You know what you don't need? You don't need balanced armies. What you need? Bigger shit to spend your money on.
Titans.
Titans. Fuck that shit.
Game balance? This is Games Workshop.
So anyway, moving on to Magic. We're still waiting for the release of the new set.
Gate Crash.
Is that the new set?
It's the new set. It's completing the other five guilds of... Okay. Currently, the set's Ravnica. Ravnica is made up of 10 guilds. Each guild is a two-color combination. So Ravnica has the first five, and then Gate Crash will have the second five.
Ah.
Then the third set will have cards for all 10.
Yeah.
Currently, the game is being completely dominated by Black-Red. Black-Red decks have won the last two Grand Prix and are probably poised to just... Win and win. It's very difficult to counter what they're doing right now. I'm sure someone will be able to do it, but they're going to be very, very good. The Black-Red deck's also easy to pilot.
Ah.
So when you have a deck that's very strong, easy to pilot, most people play it. Because a lot of the pros who are good enough to play a deck that can beat it, they just go, well, I'll just take this deck that's easy to play, and because I'm a pro, I can play it even better than anyone else, so I'll just use it and win.
There you go.
Because that's the thing I always try to explain to people. And this is for... I try to explain to people for Magic, for Warhammer, for any competitive game.
Yeah.
You need to ask yourself a question. Do you want to prove that you are smarter, quote unquote, than the other person across the table, or do you want to win?
Or do you want to win, yeah.
And I generally just go the path of least resistance and like, I'll take the win.
I'll take the win.
It's like, oh man, your army and or deck is so innovative and neat. You can sign my win box right here. I'll go turn it into the judge.
So anything else new with Magic?
No, Magic's kind of hard to do news for because it's very... This is the release. This is the release.
Yeah. It's not something you could discuss at length. I mean, you can discuss at length, but everybody listening would be like...
That, and I mean, what I could discuss decks. I kind of did. What's the best deck right now?
You talk about your Dagobah Turtle deck.
Black Red Aggro. We talked about that in one podcast.
It's like the one. It's
on the Skywalker.
It's the only deck name that I know from, and my Scorpion Political deck.
My Scorpion Political deck. That was awesome. I was talking to one of my friends, and he's like, "Oh, I'm just playing some Legend of the Fire Rings." I'm like, "Oh yeah, are you playing your Scorpion Political deck?" And he's like, "Fuck you, man. Actually, I'm playing a Scorpion Political deck." I was like, yeah.
You know what, though? We don't talk too much about Legend of the Five Rings, and that's like a very big, like, subculture.
Big is relative.
Relative is big. But, I mean, you talk about, like, people who are into the Rohugan lifestyle, so to speak.
The lifestyle?
It's big. It's like, I would put it...
This is my senpai. We're going to go to the Rokugan.
I would put it almost to the level of White Wolf now. Not White Wolf back when White Wolf was at its popularity, but I mean, like, people who are into White Wolf are into White Wolf. People who are into the
there's not a lot of people in the White Wolf anymore.
Anyway, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, it's the same thing. Like, hardcore people who love that Legend of the Five Rings card game, the role playing game.
The L5R card game is very well designed. It's a very, very
people
strong game.
People love it.
It's a good game. It's really strong. It's very good. It's probably mechanically better than Magic.
I always get a lot of shit from you because I have a shit ton of Clan War figures. I fucking love that game. There's some mechanics in that game that
Doom Patrol.
What?
Doom Patrol is a Mutant Chronicles game. Every time you talk about a dead miniatures game, all I can think about is Mutant Chronicles.
Mutant Chronicles.
I'm like, oh, that game was cool.
It was cool. But anyway, Clan War was actually a very good game. I mean, it wasn't great, mind you, and it was very expensive to be into because all the figures were metal. They had no plastics. But man, once that game folded and you were able to pick the stuff up for like pennies, oh man, I had so much.
Pennies on the dollar.
Pennies on the dollar. You son of a bitch.
Do you have, is it all painted?
I have a lot of painted stuff. I don't. It's not all painted.
Do you have any force that's completely unpainted?
Yes, I do. Actually,
you should give it to me. I'll buy it. I'll buy it. We'll battle.
Yeah, but then you'll sell it, and
I'm not gonna sell it.
Who's gonna buy Clan War figures?
Where am I?
People who are really into the Rokugan lifestyle, motherfucker.
You were just talking about pennies on the dollar. I'm like, yes, I'm gonna make this. I'm gonna lose money.
Are you gonna play a crane deck?
I don't know.
Crane army?
Do you have the Ratman? Are the Ratman available?
They're not an army. They're like in a unit you could add to your
army. Yeah. Don't want to play anymore.
Don't care.
Play anymore.
Don't care.
What is it? The Nozomi?
That's who they were. Yeah. Anyway, D&D once again is still, you know, in the pooper because D&D
Nella chapter.
However, kind of bridging the gap between Dungeons and Dragons and our next category, which is on the Kickstarter stuff. I wanted to talk about the Guide to Glorantha. Have you seen this?
No, I was checking out the Paizo one with the
Paizo.
The Pathfinder Online.
Pathfinder Online. Oh.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a Kickstarter going out right now for this thing called the Guide to Glorantha, and it's basically just like one of those RPG guidebooks, but it's not really an RPG book. It's just like a full-color book that talks about the world of Glorantha. And it was an influential fantasy RPG setting that actually came out right around this time of D&D. D&D just bowled it over because, of course, D&D is the juggernaut of the time. But it's a really beautiful Kickstarter, and it's, you know, made $143,000 to get this made.
Give me that sheet.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't look at this.
I want to look at this, motherfucker. My notes are on there, so I can't really go on to any other subject while you're looking at that.
I'm looking at it now.
Let's just have dead air while Steve looks
Glorantha. It's spelled Glorantha, if you listening at home would like to Google it.
It's got some really beautiful illustrations in there.
So it's just background?
Yeah, just background information from it.
It's just, there's no rules.
No.
Just background.
Yeah. It looks really cool, though. And apparently it was very popular. I had never heard of this until I saw this Kickstarter.
It's fucking stupid. When people just come up with their own ideas.
Because not everybody can come up with their own ideas, Steve.
Dude, I've come up with like 20 game worlds in the time you just said. Not everyone can come up with their own ideas.
That's you. There's reasons why people have to play Smallville, the RPG. Okay?
Somebody save me.
It's the reason why there's a leverage RPG, okay? There's people
God
can't come
damn.
Up with their own shit.
That's the fucking worst.
I know. We've talked about
it. We're going to play leverage.
You know, people like this stuff, and I love guidebooks to fantasy worlds. I have the Wheel of Time one, and I got my Atlas of Pern, you know, my guide to Westeros, the new George R. R. Martin book that details the Game of Thrones universe.
How you get a soft cover for $25? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But anyway, you want to talk about the Pathfinder thing really quick.
Oh, yeah. It's the second redux, if you will, because the first Pathfinder Online Kickstarter was meant to generate money to do the tech demo.
Yeah.
The tech demo was successful. And then all of the Kickstarter rewards for that first thing are still, you know, available to you. And then this one is generating income for the actual game. And it's really weird. It looks like they have kind of like a pay to control mm-hmm. option thing where if you donate more money, they're going to take your feedback more seriously. So,
oh, that's just terrible. Yeah. How much money could we like do a Kickstarter to raise money to fuck up their system?
That would be awesome.
Here's $200,000. Everything is dicks.
Everything's dicks. The fucking fighter's arms are dicks. He's got a dick shield.
He's got a dick sword. He's got a dick flail. He's got dick
it's
chucks.
Just balls. No, it's balls.
He's got
a flail. The flail handle, the haft is a dick. And then the chains are connected to balls.
He's got dick chucks, which are two dicks with a chain in between them.
In case you're ever wondering what the noise dick chucks would make, that was the noise. Yeah, so it's kind of weird. I mean, it looks interesting. The problem is the conceit of that game is that's far. I think it's impossible. Yeah. I think what they say, like, this game is going to have these features, I don't think it's actually feasible to ever do.
It's not feasible. You know, as I say, I'm waiting for
I'm telling you this, though. If it does have it, you'd never fucking see me again. You'd be like, hey, Steve, you want to do the podcast? I'm like, I'm really sick. I can't. I'm going to just...
And then I'll be playing. Are you just playing the game by yourself? Is that what you're doing?
Just playing Pathfinder. No, it's Pathfinder Online.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm MMO. Saying. Just playing.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'll be doing. If it has what they say, that's I just don't think
what
it
video
is.
Game
no
ever has what they say it's going to have? I've never seen that.
Mario Brothers.
Mario.
It's got jumping, it's got fire flowers, invincible stars, and one-ups. And you fight Goombas.
I'm gonna take a second out of this podcast. We're gonna put Game Classy on pause, and I wanna put this out there to everybody who heard me when I was talking on the Retro Game Review and on Planet Arbitrary about the Wii U. I fucking told you so. I told you when it was talked about at E3 2 years ago. I said this is gonna be the biggest piece of trash ever. And you know what? People are like, oh. You know, this is the biggest piece of trash ever. It's way more expensive for what it is, and there's no games for it. And people are just going to fucking masturbating waiting for the new Legend of Zelda game to come out on it, because that's when they're fucking going to buy it. I mean, that's what it is.
It sold 450,000 units.
You know what? Fuck that.
It's not going to fail. It's a Nintendo console.
Well, it's not going to fail because it's a Nintendo console. But I fucking told you, it's not going to be a hit. It's going to be what it is right now. Why it sold 450,000 consoles is because it's a bunch of fucking parents buying it for their kids for Christmas.
You'll have people who actually buy that just for Bayonetta. Guarantee it. Like, people will buy it just for Bayonetta.
I hated Bayonetta.
It's because you're bad at it.
Well, I'm not bad at it. I beat it. I told you that. We had this conversation before, Steve.
You didn't beat Bayonetta. I don't believe it. What was the final boss? What was it named?
I don't remember. It was some big fucking weirdo looking thing.
All of the bosses in that game were big fucking weirdo looking things.
That's true. I take that back. But yeah, it was like, it had like weird kabuki mask faces and shit. It had like big. I played it like
Jubileus was the boss.
What?
Jubileus. Oh, that game was amazing. The art design, so many. Well, whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Back to Game Classy. All right. So Kickstarters, a couple new ones just popped up that were really cool. Did you want to talk about Fate?
Fate's really, I just played in a Fate campaign.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Talk about it.
All right, so I played in Dresden Files, which is basically Fate 2nd Edition, for all intents and purposes. This is Fate 3rd Edition,
okay.
For all intents and purposes. It's a good system.
It's already funded, and,
It's destroyed its funding. They wanted $3,500.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's at 88,000 right now, and it's got some decent, it's got some decent stuff, so if you want to, the more money you spend, the better off you get. It's not one of those bullshit Kickstarters like, fucking Blackball Games. Have you seen Blackball Games?
No.
They're doing AE WW2. They bought the license.
I don't even know what AEWW2 is.
Alternate Earth, World War II. It's a weird war game.
Okay.
It's great, but they're all of their... like levels, it's just like buying these figures in a store, so you're like, well, what the fuck, I'm not really getting anything out of this shit.
The thing about like Fate, all right, so the way Fate works is rather than building a character like spending points or rolling dice, you build a background for your character. Mm-hmm. So you have your high concept. So my high concept is like a hard-boiled ex-detective. So that's my concept, my aspect, my high aspect. Then you have other aspect, or you have a trouble, which is like your problem. So for my detective character, my trouble was loose cannon, because I'm a loose cannon. And then you have other aspects, which are, you know, so it was like Heart of Gold, Magnificent Bastard, Heart is All In. You just make it up. There's no actual stats for it.
In Love with a Pillow Girl?
No, it was a werewolf. Werewolf chick.
Oh.
I got her pregnant. It happened. Yeah.
How? You're from two different worlds, Steve. It'll never work.
Well, I got hit with a magical perfume that guarantees that you're going to get the girl pregnant because it was Zeus's perfume.
God damn it.
So that happened.
Two different worlds,
I knocked
Steve.
Her up.
Two different worlds.
Now she's going to have puppies.
Yeah.
She's going to have burly detective puppies. Yeah. All right, so anyway. So you just make those up. Those are your aspects, you know. And then the way it works is you can tag, quote unquote, an aspect by spending a fate point.
Ooh.
Which gives you +2 to your roll, basically. You
like
2
unmarked
successes. That's spend might.
Or my heroic might.
You not spend your heroic might.
Damn.
So they, and then those are also to be used as a tool by the DM. So for example, say you took loose cannon as your trouble, and you go into a room, and a bunch of people go like, they turn to look at you and they're like, oh, you know, it would be a standoff situation where someone could maybe break the ice and be like, don't move, we've got you surrounded or whatever. Your character's a loose cannon. So I go, Joe, I'm offering you this fate point to start firing immediately.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, fuck it. It's a fate point. I'm doing it. Or you can spend a fate point that you have to be like, no, I don't want to do
it. In this version, it's an updated to the core rule set.
It's updated. It's a generic role-playing system.
Is it a generic universal role-playing system?
It's not a generic universal role-playing
Damn
system.
It.
I actually, overall, did not like it.
No?
No, at the end of
the day?
It's very good. The concept is strong,
mm-hmm.
but I feel that the mechanics are weak. Because the biggest drawback is the way combat works. Like, damaging each other, fucking shit show. You have three health tracks.
Yeah.
You've got physical, social, and mental. And then you have one pool of consequences. And the consequences are something like you tag one and it's like you got shot in the leg. So it's like crippled leg. You tag that consequence. But you also could have one where it's mental. So you tag a consequence and you're like nerve racked. Like, you know, you're going to like run away. And then the social one could be like cowed. Like you've been cowed or cowed. I don't know if I can say that word.
Cow.
Is it cowed? Cowed?
Cowed.
Cowed?
Yeah.
All right. You've been cowed. So like you can no longer like. Go to participate in the social thing. Now, while it's a cool idea to have damage to physical, damage to social, damage to mental, the things that actually can kill your character, the consequences, are shared. So you're in a bar brawl, or no, you're in a bar, and I have some super hot seductress chick who's playing your character for the fool, because that ain't cool. She destroys you in a bunch of social attacks. She just wrecks your character. You're just like, fuck.
You're ugly.
Your social damage is maxed out, and you take like two consequences. You really got your shit shoved in.
Yeah.
Then she leaves, and someone hits you over the head with a beer bottle. Well, now when you're taking damage past like your physical health pool, you're still dipping into the same consequences that are shared by social. So you are now easier to kill because you've been insulted.
Well... who knows? That might actually work for some people. Some people might like that, and some clever GMs could actually make it work for you.
I would never, if I ran a fake game, I would give everyone separate consequence pools. Like,
well, there you go.
Consequences for social, but like that would be my ad hoc number one thing. And then,
and maybe in this third edition, maybe they've tweaked that. Who knows?
And combat felt kind of stilted and weird. I don't know. I overall did not like it, but. The system, the core of the system is very strong, so I would say giving this a worth a second look.
Yeah. I also
I hate Dresden Files. Like, I think Dresden Files is really stupid. It's the biggest Mary Sue character ever.
It really is.
It's like, eh.
However, I do like that the fact that their Kickstarter does have a special reward level just for game store owners, which is nice. And
the Reaper did that too.
I really think that yeah.
They had the retailer level. Yeah. You got like
I think that more Kickstarters need to do that because I think it's I think that it would work better for them. Something that I wanted to bring up on the Kickstarter one really quick with the Kingdom Death Monster.
It's over 500K.
Yeah, it is. 513,000.
They posted the game mechanics for combat. Holy fuck, that game looks amazing.
I wasn't really that impressed with it.
The combat mechanics? They look awesome.
But anyway, I wanted to comment on last week. You mentioned that the figures for the females were well proportioned.
No. I said there's two types. There's the pinups.
No. I'm saying the figures for the Kingdom Death game. Even the non pinups are pretty.
No, all the figures that are out of control are pinups.
Show me
the figure you're talking about, and I'll tell you if it's a pinup or not.
No,
I guarantee it's a pinup.
Well, I don't want to sit here and waste time on the podcast.
I desperately need to be right.
I desperately need to be right.
Desperate. I'll just talk more about the mechanics while you're the dragon sacrifice is a pinup. It even says fucking above it, pinup dragon sacrifice.
Oh, okay. Original pinup dragon sacrifice.
I told you
that was just the one I brought up. That would happen to be the first thing I looked at.
All of the figures where they have their boobies and giant hips, they're all pinups.
Yeah.
The actual chick character models are not that out of control.
However, the fucking dragon model is out of control.
Yeah, it's so fucking awesome.
I could see why you like this because actually, if you like the Bayonetta design, the
Dark Souls too. If you like Dark Souls,
very similar. Very similar in design. I'm not a huge fan of that. Like, I don't like dudes who have, like, hands for, like, wings and shit. Like, hundreds of hands or wings.
Yeah, I think that's
like,
cool.
Steve thinks that's fucking amazing. I think that's just kind of weird.
I think it's amazing because it's weird.
I'm not going to paint 1,000 hands. This is just a lot of flesh.
The Watcher's really cool, too. He's the ghost with all the lanterns. Yeah. Like, looks awesome. Yeah, the game looks very, very good.
It's very weird for weird's sake.
And the combat looks awesome. I love the AI deck. I love the concept of everyone's playing against the game.
Yeah.
It's not cooperative competitive. It is actual cooperative. Because most cooperative games aren't actually cooperative. Like You're playing against each other. So Talisman, even though you're on the same team, they're still a winner.
Yeah. RuneScape?
The AEG one. The AEG deck building game. Name's escaping me. Nightstone? It's Thunderstone. Damn. Thunderstone is cooperative competitive. You're all battling against the monsters in the dungeon.
Yeah.
You can't attack each other, but at the end, there's only one winner because whoever gets the most victory points wins. This one seems to be... I obviously don't see all of the rules, but this one seems to actually be a game where everyone is battling against the game.
The game's getting away from the mini game. Ah, shit. Into a game that I was kind of impressed with. It just came out a couple days ago. Guilds of Cadwallon. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks very Fantasy Flight-esque. It's made by King's Games or Queen's Game.
Actually, Cool Mini are not putting it out.
Yes. Cool. Because, yeah, the IP's everywhere. There's the Rackham IP has been used by Fantasy Flight. It's been used by Queen, and I guess it's now going to be used by Cool Mini or not.
Well, Cool Mini or not owns the sculpts for the actual Rackham figures.
Oh, the originals?
Just so people know, Cadwallon goes back to the old RPG Cadwallon, which was a...
very flavorful, rich, and detailed world, completely unplayable game.
And a completely unplayable game. For the Rackham... We talk about Rackham a lot.
Yeah.
I always say it was the pinnacle of modeling. But Guilds of Cadwallon looks like a tactical board game set in the City of Thieves.
It looks like Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah.
It looks
very much like Lords of Waterdeep. I was a big fan of Cadwallon City of Thieves, which is a game that came out. It's very much I described it as Ocean's 11 meets, you know, Warhammer Fantasy.
But no George Clooney.
No George Clooney.
I think Brad Pitt's in it, though.
And City of Thieves, actually, all of the plastic models that you got in the game were actually old Rackham sculpts scaled down, which was really cool because they're really nice sculpts. Guilds of Cadwallon actually uses the old familiar models. I don't know if you remember those. Remember, you get like the little pack of like
five or six guys. Stupidest models ever.
They were so stupid, but they were like really nicely sculpted.
Yeah.
They actually use that for the different guilds. Each guild has their own you know, little familiar model. Guild
their
of Blades.
Their logo, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, and it looks really fun. I don't know for sure if I'm gonna pick it up, but I think I might actually spend like the $25 just to get the game. It looks like it might be worth it for $25.
Speaking of confrontation, there's another Kickstarter called Imbrian Arts.
Imbrian Art, that's interest. On my list, yeah.
Yeah. That one, it looks very Rackham. The sculpts look very, very, very Rackham. Like the dude, the orc who's got his hands behind his back really strangely.
Yeah.
The howling ghoul. When I first saw it, the warband looks exactly like the Rackham Chaos Dwarves.
Yeah.
When I first saw it, I was kind of like, another generic fantasy game, skirmish game. I really don't care.
Is that you or me?
Huh? That's you, buddy.
Oh.
Is it your tablet?
Oh, it is. It's from the fucking Imbrian Arts thing.
Nice. Well done.
I don't know if... okay, that's
all right, so... No, it's still going. You're getting destroyed.
Fuck you, Imbrian Arts. All right, you're getting taken away.
That was amazing.
It's Jody Siegel, and I actually think... That name sounds familiar. It could have been a sculptor for Rackham.
I don't know, but I was not impressed. I mean, it looked good.
The figures look good, and figures.
I'm like, who cares? It's another fucking skirmish game. There's too many of them.
Too many of them.
But, the big but.
Yeah.
I saw how the combat and the dice rolling resolution works in that game. Yeah. There's no dice.
What?
It uses a grid playmat that has like arcane symbols and all sorts of shit etched on it, and there's pieces for the game that are bones. Those are skulls. There's like a bird skull, femur, claws, all sorts of shit. And when you do something in the game, you grab the appropriate type of bones, you cast them into the symbol, and depending on how they point, determines how your action.
Can you play
that?
Like,
seems very cool.
Can you play like Willow, where you're like, "What do the bones tell you?" The bones tell me nothing.
Actually, Willow's awesome.
When I was at the bunker, they were playing the Willow soundtrack. Nice. David Horner, fucking brilliant soundtrack.
Soundtracks are underrated.
They are. One last thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about. Is
not in Kickstarter corner.
Not in Kickstarter corner. Kickstarter corner with a K.
With a K, obviously. Like Mortal Kombat.
Through the Breach, Malifaux's RPG's coming out. I know you don't like the Malifaux It's figures.
The worst around. Hopefully, its Kickstarter somehow goes down. It's the
However,
worst around.
$165,000.
Yeah, I know.
People like
I know. I know. People like Malifaux.
Yeah. It's once again, it's an RPG. I have zero idea how anything in this thing works. It's
weird. Poorly.
It's a Weird West game. Weird West has never really spoken to
it's
me.
It's not Weird West. It's like Victorian and shit.
Well, yeah, it's like Weird West
it's
steampunk.
It's their world. They've got like steampunk shit. There's like spider robots and fucking Tim Burton everywhere. It's like Tim Burton jacked off into a fucking miniatures casting thing. And it's like, he's like, ah, jerking it, ah, yeah.
He jerked off into one of the metal casts
into
and
the
they
molds.
Spun it.
Yeah, he just jerked off into the molds and they're
and
like, oh, look at these figures
Malifaux
that came out. Yeah, Malifaux came out.
So fucking stupid.
It's like the goth kid's favorite miniatures game.
One day I'm going to get a person who likes Malifaux on this podcast so they can explain to me like why Malifaux is good.
No.
Yes.
No.
No. You can go sit in a corner.
I will. I'll go watch Star Trek
okay.
The Next Generation.
Okay, so we're done with Kickstarters. Before we get into like another topic, we still got some time. Two things came up. Adepticon, which is going to lead into the second part. Adepticon's coming out. Already sold out of all the major events. Team tournament.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, shocked. 40K team tournament sold out. Fantasy team tournament sold out. Privateer Press tournament is sold out. I think they even opened up more tables and it sold out again.
Probably.
And Adepticon is having a Kings of War tournament.
The Clash of Kings. Yeah, I
Clash of Kings. $1,000.
Yeah, I talked about it a bunch when we did the big Kings of War podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like it's coming up. They put out the tournament rules now.
Very cool. Comp rules.
Yeah, the comp rules.
Kevin was on so much tilt yesterday.
He was. I was looking.
Oh, dude. Kevin, this is just for you. Penalty. You're taking the penalty if you take that item. It's a penalty.
Penalty. It's penalty.
He was raging. I was like, oh.
I saw that like the way that they're doing penalties, like you get yellow cards and red cards.
Most on tilt I've ever seen him.
First of all, Britain, don't fucking try and bring soccer into my other parts of my fucking games. Because I don't give a shit about soccer. I'm not gonna give a shit about your soccer rules inside my mini games, motherfucker.
Well, there's comp rules, which are bigger than the actual like rules of conduct. I was laughing because one of the rules of conduct for a red flag was physical assault.
I saw that. It was like some of the rules were like one of my favorite ones was like you could get a penalty if you're not speaking to another person in English.
Yeah. And then if you destroy a model. It's not an opponent's model. It's a model. So those dudes who grab their models and pissed off, whip them into a container.
Yeah.
You could totally get that guy disqualified.
Yellow card. The ref comes out. He like whips out the card out of
blowing a whistle. I can't do a whistle.
I didn't want
to
whistle
awful.
Too loud. I'm trying not to whistle too loud.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do the whistle that sounds like a whistle. You put the two fingers in your mouth. I can't do that.
Whips out the yellow card. He's like, yellow card. It's a French ref.
Yellow card.
You get a yellow card. But, for you have more than two dragons on the table.
Or you can have three. That's the thing. The way that it works is certain units are penalized.
Yeah.
And they generate a power point. You can have 10 power points in your list. And multiples are penalized.
Yeah.
So if you take five of the same guy.
Yeah.
You take a...
Which is good. I kind of like that. I mean, it tends to add for variety.
Yes and no, except you can still bring a triple dragon army.
Yeah. Here's my problem with it, is that when you do that, especially with a game like Kings of War, which a lot... The armies do not have a ton of variation in them, and you're making people have to bring different things into their army.
They actually do have a ton of variation in them.
Not enough that it's like if you do too much variation, I think you're going to tend to see a lot of similar armies popping up in these tournaments, similar designed forces. And that's just looking at it, looking from what I know. I don't know if the rule, because I have the older army lists. Sorry about that. I have the older army lists saved on my hard drive that I was looking at.
The older army lists are very different than the ones in the hardcover.
Okay, so that'd be a little different
because there's a lot of choices that are in the hardcover armies that weren't even in the.
Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, because I'm not buying that fucking hardcover book. But
why? Because it's such a reasonably priced $25?
Fuck that.
I got the $75 Warhammer 40,000 rule book.
I bought that for $30 from a kid who didn't know what he had. Craigslist. But I can find a person to play with.
Do you really want to?
Yeah, I told you, man. I'm all into 8th edition. I'm all in. I'm all in, Jerry.
That's 6th edition. I was talking about 40K.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
You'd better be.
Are you going to do the tournament? Are you going to do the King's War tournament?
I'm going to try. I'm in kind of this weird position about it right now. Like, one, I really want to do it because it's cash prize. Seems awesome. There's probably going to be a lot of people playing it. Problem. My army is very incomplete. And it's not that finishing it with what I had to bring an 1,800-point force would be difficult. Wouldn't be hard. I have, like, 1,000 points now.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff I really want to use is not available. It's like, there's no mummies, there's no werewolves.
Mummies alive?
It's so fucking hilarious. We were dicking around with army lists last night, and we put together an army list that's all mummies for the undead.
Mummies!
And I constantly just kept saying, like, oh, dude, it's the mummies alive. It's the mummies alive. They are the mummies. 6045 BC. I just kept fucking saying mummies alive, and it's so great that you brought that up.
Well, of course, every time I hear mummies and I see you, I think
mummies
alive. Anyway, so you don't know if you're doing the tournament.
I'm going to attempt. I guess if worst comes to worst, I can just buy random historical human figures and play a Kingdoms of Men army.
Yeah.
Because I have everything available to me, because they can use all proxy figures. But I don't want to do that.
I was thinking this year for Adepticon, I might just rent a table. Like, just in a random
spot. Just to stand there?
No, just to have a table, sit down, paint my figures or whatever, and just have, like, an invited table. Like have, like, a guest list and just have you standing there, like, are you on the guest list?
Turning people away. You could have snacks and stuff and be like, don't touch my snacks. You're not on the list.
No, I go to the bar and I get the big charcuterie board that they bring out with all the meats and cheeses.
Was that a word? Charcuterie?
Charcuterie. It's like when you get, like, the smoked meats and delicious
You're all
hams.
About smoking that meat.
Ah, olives
he's
and cheeses.
He's whacking, he's smacking.
But anyway, so we're go on Adepticon. Going on mailbag, wanted to answer a few mail things.
I got one real quick. The same guy who wanted to talk about the orcs spoilers, which we unfortunately didn't have too much.
No, there's not too much, but it's stuff is going to be coming probably in the spring.
He wanted to talk about the Batman miniatures game.
Yes, I saw that. But hold on, before we do that, a guy going by the handle Nimrod Funk.
Nimrod Funk?
Nimrod Funk.
We got the funk. We got the funk. That's an awesome fucking name.
Bring out the funk. Just caught the last show after seeing a post on tabletop gaming. Funny, very funny. Love the anime bits. I go to the occasional anime con, walking around and thinking, who the fuck are these people dressed up as?
Arigato gozaimasu.
Most of the game podcasts are really lame. This one was good. I like the fact that you don't take yourselves too seriously. There's nothing worse than an uber serious rabid 40K player. I concur.
That's the fucking worst.
They are the worst. But yeah, that's...
What was it, the funk? Domo arigato. Funk-san.
Funk-san. Batman minigame. Night models.
Yes, okay. I can't find rules anywhere.
There's no rules out yet.
No samples or anything.
No samples.
The figures are cool.
Here's the thing. Night Models, in case you're not aware of it, is a company that puts out hyper-detailed models that represent comic book characters from DC, Marvel. I think they do some other stuff, too. But
They did the movie Bane. He looks fucking awesome.
They're about 30 mils, a little bit bigger. Probably, I would say they're inching close to 35s. They're really nice, really beautiful sculpts. They're very expensive. And they're going to be putting out a game based on Arkham City, an Arkham City-based game. They already have, like, the Joker's goons. They have policemen. They have Harley Quinn, Killer Croc.
From my guess is it looks like it's going to be one player playing as Batman or Catwoman versus a small group of villains.
Here's my thing on it. First of all, Night Models, if you're really into that sort of thing, more power to you. I hate any sort of mini where I have to paint it to look a certain way. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, yes, I could paint Batman to look like the Adam West Batman.
Oh, that'd be badass.
It's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay $35 for a model to paint it to look like that. I want it to look like Batman. And so I have issues with that.
But you want to paint Batman. I mean, that doesn't really make much sense, because if you want to paint Batman, you'll buy Batman.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if I want to paint Batman, I'm going to buy Batman. But I'm not going to pay $35 to paint Batman, because I could just buy $1.50 HeroClix Batman and repaint it. It just did the same thing.
I don't think your argument's logical. It's if you want to play the Batman miniatures game.
Yes. But I mean, if you want to play the Batman's miniature game, I mean, yes, use the Knight models. They're fucking beautiful. However, you can also go buy the HeroClix models and just proxy them in, because I guarantee it's going to be the fucking same.
But the HeroClix models look like trash.
Just repaint them.
They look like poopy
have
trash.
Have you seen my repainted HeroClix that I did?
They look less awful than awful.
Have you seen my repainted HeroClix?
Yeah, yeah. I saw your Green Lantern. I mean, yeah. The paint jobs looked good, but the sculpt was
the sculpts are still terrible.
The
Wonder Woman.
The Green Lantern looked like he was taking a shit. He's like, "Hur!" Some of the newer ones by NECA actually have... we'll say passable sculpts, but the paint jobs
are still done by Sri Lankan slaves.
My favorite was my Sabretooth, whose eyes, the whites of his eyes were going onto his forehead like this, and he had googly eyes. One eye was pointing up to the right, the other one was down to the left.
I have the worst one. I have a blade that looks terrible at home.
All of the blades look terrible.
Yeah. It's because the Asian sculptors were like, what do black people look like?
I thought it was because Blade, in fact, is terrible.
No, come on.
I only want Blackulas.
The Blade movies, I love the Blade movies, and I'll stand by them. The third one was weak, but the first two, fucking phenomenal.
Well, you know why the second one was a good movie?
Because Guillermo del Toro
directed it.
The first one was good, too. I liked the first one.
The Blade movies are actually pretty entertaining. Far more entertaining than the character.
Yeah, far more. And we already talked about Kevin's full tilt on the full tilt poker. The full tilt on the Kings of War.
He proxied up an Orc and Goblin list versus the Triple Dragon Army, and it was pretty degenerate.
Then just take the Triple Dragon Army.
I think that's right now we're trying to work on the consensus. Like, we're trying to say, is that army as unbeatable as it looks?
Okay.
So we're going to keep testing against that. And I'm going to bring the Mummy Army, because the Mummy Army looks really stupid.
What I want to see posted to YouTube and then posted on the website is you and Kevin montage writing up lists to, like beat the Triple Dragon. Like, you two, like, time-lapse, like, writing and scribbling and crunching up paper.
It's really funny that you mentioned this, because I've actually been just milling around in my head over and over, making a game-classy YouTube channel.
And just, like, you get really angry at each other, and you're yelling at each other, and then Kevin starts crying, and then you hug him.
And then it's like, we both cry.
And then all of a sudden, like, you get, like, the aha moment, and you write out the list, and you hold it up.
And we just pull three dragons on the table.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that would be good. But yeah, I actually am planning to do a game classy YouTube channel.
Well, there you go.
I need to get the equipment, though.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the equipment.
You know, you could use your phone. That's what most people on YouTube do.
I want to actually make nice videos.
Yeah.
I can do games.
We got about 10 minutes left.
We just don't have enough time.
We just don't have enough time in this world. I had a topic that I want to talk about, and 10 minutes is about a perfect time to talk about this, because it's been something that's been bugging me in my head, and I sent you a text message about this. It's about how much information is too much information with a game. And that being said, let me give a little bit about this. Games Workshop, because of their licensing with New Line Cinema, cannot put out any sort of information about their figures ahead of time. There is a complete lockdown in the studio. There's a complete lockdown on all publication. You don't tend to find out about stuff coming out until a week or two beforehand. Now, you can contrast that with Magic, which spoils all of the cards just about in a deck before it comes out.
It's the set is fully spoiled by the pre-release, which is 1 week from release.
Yes.
But they do trickle-down spoilers for months leading up to it.
HeroClix is very similar, where they tend to post figures, say this is what this figure is going to do. It's a little different with with those games, because you actually have to seek out and find those cards and those figures.
War Machine just gives it all to you in a book.
War Machine tends to give it all to you in a book ahead of time. But what they don't do is they don't really spoil too much what's going on in the book before the book comes out.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really know what's going to, like, if War Machine put out a new book, you wouldn't really know what anything is going to be in the book until the book came out.
They do no quarter spoilers.
They do. If you subscribe to their magazine, or you go to you're a degenerate and you just go there and you just look at the page and copy it down another page.
Or you
page.
Just go on a website. Somehow Magic magazine pages get on the internet for free. I don't know how it happens.
So I wanted to ask you, Steve, and get your opinion on this. How much information is too much information when you're looking at a game?
Absolutely none. I want maximum information. I want 100% as much as possible. And I think as a manufacturer and a creator of a product, you can sell your product better if you give full disclosure, full transparency, because I feel that if a company is trying to hide or obfuscate rules, mechanics, or something about their game, I feel that they're trying to sell me a lemon.
Ah. Well, I mean, there is some truth to that.
Games Workshop being number fucking one on the goddamn list.
There is some truth to that. I mean, I could always point back to the great High Elf disaster of, what was it, 2004?
Ought 4.
I can't remember the exact date. But Games Workshop spoiled essentially the entire High Elf Codex. Sorry, Army Book.
No, keep saying Codex.
They spoiled the entire High Elf Codex. People saw it and they were like, this book is shit. And no one bought any High Elves. Seriously, High Elves, like, there's still, you go to certain stores and you can look at the High Elves and you can measure the level of dust on it. You go, oh, what's this? Oh, $50 white lines. Yeah, I'm not buying those.
But that's the thing, because if they didn't spoil it, people would have been buying lemons.
People would have bought it, and they would have bought buying lemons and stuff like that. However, but people still end up buying High Elves, and people still played High Elves, and they found lists that worked with High Elves. I mean, they were few and far between.
I mean, the rule of thumb is I don't want to be fucking surprised in a game that should have no surprises.
Yeah, that's however. To put a little bit of a spin on that, I do like having a little bit of the excitement built up. This is just me as a collector and me as a person who's interested in the hobby, not necessarily in the world of gaming.
See, I feel
playing.
I'm going to counter your argument. I'm going to pre-counter
argument. You haven't even heard my
argument. I'm tapping two blue, and I'm counterspelling you. As a hobbyist who's excited about the hobby, you should give no shits about the rules, which is what I want. I want the rules. I don't care about the models.
Yeah.
Leave the models fucking off the table. War Machine does it all the time. They put a bunch of rules in. You get a piece of artwork. You don't see the model. Then, when the model drops, you get to see what the sculpt looks like.
Yeah.
So, as a hobbyist, you should be fully behind me.
I disagree. Because, I disagree and I agree. Because I think what you're saying is fine. I mean, they put the rule set out, and then, you know, you see the rule set, and then the model gets dropped later, and you're like, oh, look at that fucking model. Look at that high exemplar Krios figure on horseback. Look at him riding that horse with that armor. There's no way he could do that.
That's what I want to be surprised by. I want to be surprised by how cool the figure looks.
And I agree with that. And I think that's, like, something that... As for me, like, I think, well, why doesn't Games Workshop put out the pictures of the figures? I mean, you can't do that with The Hobbit because you're working with someone else's.
I'm giving a pass to Games Workshop on this one because with licensed products, there's now you have to do
what they're telling you. I mean, granted, Space Marines are not part of the Hobbit release.
Space Marines.
There's no reason you can't spoil a little bit of the Space Marine the dangles when they're coming out. But that's what gets me excited about the army. Like, if I got really excited, like, let's say with the High Elves, they started putting out the High Elf figures before the rules came out, and I was like, oh, that's a fucking badass Dragon Princess. I can't wait to play those Dragon Princess. And they put out, you know, like, the fucking Lion Chariot. I'm like, oh my god, it's the chariot getting pulled by a lion. This is fucking amazing. And then all of a sudden they put the rules out, and the rules were, like, kind of shit. I'd be like, oh, well... I'm still going to buy the fucking models. But I mean, you know, it all comes out all together and I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is too much information. And people are telling me, oh, this is shit and the models are cool and all that. It's like, it's too much. I don't want to deal with it. I kind of like what Privateer Press does. I like that. I like that the rule set, you know, they put it out, they put all that, and then the figures come out. However, I kind of want it all lumped together. I would like the figure releases to be more lumped together with that. You can't do it, though. Privateer Press can't do it.
No.
No.
They have to keep it balanced between all the forces.
Fantasy Flight, on the other hand, will put out the rules for their game and just be like, well, it doesn't fucking matter. You can't play the rules without the fucking board.
Yeah, exactly. You need the toys.
You need the toys to play. So they'll put out all the fucking rules, and you'll be like, oh, okay, I get this. And then they drop the figures. And they give you the rules for free. It's not even like you have to buy the book. They just, like, go to their website and you get their fucking rules.
Yeah, it's great. And it's also cool if you lose your fucking rule book.
Yeah, exactly. Like Twilight Imperium.
I don't think you have enough printing paper to print that rule book out.
I would like to re- I was thinking about this. I would love to get an old dot matrix printer to print out the rules, you know, like with the
We used to have those at my work. it was dot matrix with the carbon print for carbon yeah. paper.
Get that rule book printed out and then just like staple it. So it's someone goes, where's your rules for Twilight Imperium? I just hand him this like
junk.
You have to tear the edges off.
I didn't do it because fuck that.
All right, well, we're finishing up our hour. This was a very productive podcast. As I said, I go to Steve. I go, Steve, I did my homework for this podcast. I looked up a bunch of shit. I looked up rules. I looked up figures. And I was like, it's a shitty ass podcast.
It's going to suck because we're both kind of prepared. We're both like, I looked at some stuff. You looked at some stuff.
We mentioned dicks like only like three times.
Fucking awful.
We mentioned dick chucks.
You did mention dick. We talked about the entire thing being dicks. Pathfinder. Dicks.
Pathfinder.
We hit our dick quota.
We hit our dick quota. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. You can follow Pat at Pat's Game Reviews.
You gotta follow. If you follow me and Pat, you're gonna get to see our awesome back and forth.
Where Steve just makes fun of Pat for not liking Earthbound.
No, loving Call of Duty.
Yeah, loving Call of Duty. I'm sorry. Call of Duty is everything that is wrong with video games.
It is.
Actually, it's not Call of Duty. It's Halo.
And Call of Duty. It's both. But
Call of Duty is like the game that grew out of Halo.
I'll throw this in. I can easily show this why this is actually wrong. Why people who are buying Call of Duty are supporting a broken industry. And Call of Duty, Halo. Okay. You slap a fucking 4 on it.
Yeah.
Now you sell it again. So to put it to tabletop games, Dungeons & Dragons 3rd Edition.
Yes.
Because they do make some adjustments. There's a few. So Dungeons & Dragons 3rd Edition. Fighters start with 10 hit points. And then all the other classes start with like 6 or 7 hit points. Now, Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. Fighters start with 12 hit points, and some of the other guys that kind of start with, you know, 7s or 8s. Oh, but there's also a new sword. Oh, and the artwork inside is better looking. There you go. That is it. And then you do 5th edition. It's the same fucking thing. You change tiny little numbers.
You slap a sticker on it. Sell it. Yeah, you sell it.
You sell.
It's like Malibu Stacy's got a new hat.
Oh, but she's got a new hat.
No, I think it's just wrong in the gaming industry because it promotes douchebaggery.
Like, I mean, it's obvious. Video games are fucking terrible. The amount of good video games that comes out, I own 2 Xbox games. I have 2.
I'm going to put this out there because of PlayOn mentioned this. They were shocked that BioShock is only going to be single player. I was like, all games should only be single player. I don't want to play with other people on my video games.
See, co-op multiplayer is super fun.
I like tabletop gaming because I get to see the asshole on the other side of the table from me. And I can make the conscious choice of saying, I'm not going to play this motherfucker because he's playing Tau. And he hasn't been, you know, he brings out his gun case full of Tau.
He hasn't bathed in 10 weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't bathed in 10 weeks. I'm not playing this fucker. But I could play this guy.
Like Call of Duty, you can lump yourself in with the rest of the 12-year-olds.
Yeah, 12-year-olds. It's like people who play Call of Duty and Madden, like those people.
Madden.
One of those people.
Madden's like, no, I don't know any gamer that plays Madden. Like, dudes at my office play Madden, and they like sports. Like, oh, I got an Xbox. I got Madden.
You know what's worse than people who like Halo, Call of Duty, and Madden? People who are really into FIFA.
Dude, I was watching a movie a long time ago. I don't remember what the fuck it was. But this kid comes over to this other kid's house, and they're like, why don't you just play with Billy? And the little kid's like, hey, man, I brought over FIFA. And the kid's like, yeah. And they go FIFA. Play fucking FIFA. I'm like, what the shit?
Fuck soccer.
What world am I living in?
And finally, you could go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook
page. Like us on Bookface.
Like us on Bookface. Steve's on LinkedIn.
Fuck LinkedIn. I'm not on there.
Okay. So, Steve, until next time.
I got a theme song now. I'm gonna look.
Is it Gangnam Style?
It's not Gangnam.
Thank God.
Come on now.
I'm glad I called that when you first said that Gangnam Style.
What?
Macarena of the 2012.
It's not Macarena.
Oh, God. It's
way bigger than the Macarena.
Well, it's
gonna
hit the Macarena.
It's gonna have a billion views on YouTube.
Okay, here we go. Godzilla. Yeah. Hey.
Is it gonna drop?
It doesn't drop.
Does it just keep doing that?
It just keeps doing that. All right. So good.
I'm gonna fade out now.
Fucking ideal.